5-4-3 News with Nick, episode for June 23rd, 2016. We are here. It is 3 p.m. in the afternoon. We're doing a live audience show at the Puke Fest 2016. This is the Thursday episode, meaning we're doing the news, and then tomorrow we'll be doing the normal Puke in the Gang show. With me on mic, Andrew.
Hi.
He's just sitting here doing the knobs.
I could do the knobs more if you would turn that music off.
Oh, how is it still playing?
You didn't hit stop.
Hang on. It should be gone.
Good job.
All right. Cool. So if anyone doesn't know, this is the News with Nick, meaning it goes on our paid content section of the show. And you can't get it unless you're here physically or you pay us. And it's a minimum of $5 a month. That's it. Head on over to pukingthegang.com/VIP. And pay us $5, and you get bonus content, a News with Nick show. You get probably about one extra show every week where we say more personal things that are inappropriate.
And everyone in the live audience has to be playing Slitherio while they watch this episode.
No, 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 no. That was just the break show that wasn't supposed to go out.
I thought it was the best.
All right, on to the news. House,
do you even get news at Porkfest?
What do you mean? This is the news.
How are you getting the news?
Don't even go into it. This is the news show. So I bring the news. Paul Ryan calls it a publicity stunt. That may be true, but it is proving to be a darn effective one. Republicans, unsure about how to deal with a sit-in that started on the House floor yesterday at 11:30 a.m., tried to talk over Democrats and hold routine votes. Then around 3:30 a.m., they adjourned the chamber until after July 4th, 2 days earlier than planned. In doing so, they've guaranteed that the debate about gun control will roil the congressional recess and remain a dominant storyline for the next 2 weeks.
Royal?
So basically what happened is, as of about an hour ago or something, House Democrats have ended their sit-in on the floor of the House after more than 24 hours of chants and speeches advocating for stricter gun control measures. So basically the Democrats went into the House of House of Republicans, and said, House of Republicans, representatives rather, and they sat down and they said, no vote, no leave or something. I don't know what they said. Let's see if we can figure it out.
They spoke in two-year-old English.
Speaker Paul Ryan exonerated Democrats Thursday morning for disrupting the business of the House as the minority party sit-in to protest inaction on gun violence moved into its second day. So they were basically like, if we're not going to have a vote on controlling guns, we're going to just sit on the floor, literally sit on the floor, and then chant. Some Democrats vowed to continue their civil disobedience when the House reconvenes after its July 4th break. Paul Ryan told reporters Thursday that Democrats are descending the House into chaos. I don't think that this should be a very proud moment for democracy. Ryan forced several quick votes in the pre-dawn hours Thursday over loud Democratic objections. So Paul Ryan's up there going, gavel, gavel, gavel. That's what you say when you hit the gavel, right? He's going, gavel, gavel, we're going to hold a vote. And in the background of him trying to do a vote, Democrats are going, no vote, no leave, give us a gun ban. That rhymes, right?
Yes. You should be a rapper.
Yo, dog, I don't want my gun. I want you to seize it because I'm not black. And I don't know how to use a gun. Ryan told reporters Thursday, we are not going to allow stunts like this to stop us from carrying out the people's business, he said. Asked if Democrats could be punished for breaking House rules banning video on the floor. Oh, they were taking out their phones, too. The Democrats were like, we're going to stream this. They're being real free staters over there. we love doing protests.
Ryan, the best thing to do is put the phone right in the face. Not touching, can't get mad. Not touching, can't get mad.
Right to Paul Ryan?
Yep.
This extraordinary protest by more than a dozen Democratic lawmakers began at about 11 a.m. Wednesday, bringing legislative business to a halt and triggering a chaotic late-night showdown as the lawmakers demanded a vote on gun control legislation. One of the guys said, let's do the right thing. He said, they can run, but they're not going to be able to hide from these issues. So anyway, they're just going in circles now. Democrats refused to leave the floor as of 7 a.m. this morning. 20 of them were still there, including Nancy Pelosi. They're just trying to get attention, and then a bunch of people who hate guns are going to be like, wow, those are some really brave Democrats. I guess we're going to vote for them again.
What would you do there to pass time?
While I'm a Democrat?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably play with my organic crackers or something. I don't know. I guess I just think all the Democrats are into organic food. So that is that. So let's go on to... Actually, let's skip on over to...
This might be loud, and therefore be just like your normal news show.
Okay. There's no video, though.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Skip on over to another story about guns. A man was arrested at a Donald Trump rally in Las Vegas on Saturday after he attempted to grab a police officer's gun, the U.S. Secret Service told the Daily Beast, according to a federal agent in an unsealed criminal complaint. Michael Steven Stanford wanted to use it to kill the presumptive Republican presidential nominee. Oops. Stanford was also reportedly in the country illegally after overstaying his visa from Britain or the United Kingdom. I don't know.
Now, this is going to help Trump guarantee the win, right?
I don't know what you're saying.
If there's an assassination attempt on a candidate, it's only going to help them, right?
I think he has to get shot in the liver.
Well, even if there's an attempt, it still has a few points. Maybe it was a failed attempt. Maybe it was staged and it just didn't follow through the whole way.
This wasn't even front page news. Special Agent Swierkowski, named in the complaint, said Stanford told officers he drove from California to kill Trump. He also practiced shooting at a Las Vegas gun range the day before.
Just the day before, that's it?
Yep. In a statement to the Daily Beast, the U.S. Secret Service confirmed the details of the encounter with local law enforcement. The agency also told them that Stanford was charged with unlawful entry and assault. According to the complaint, he was planning an assassination attempt for a year and planned on dying while carrying it out.
I wish I had that kind of confidence.
I know.
You know, one day he's like, oh, I shot a tree. Tomorrow I'll shoot a Trump.
Well, here's a picture of him being carried away. He's literally 20. literally, he's 20, so he looks like he's 4, according to me. So yeah, he's from Great Britain, or the United Kingdom, and he goes, you know, a year ago he starts planning. He's like, you know what? I'm going to kill Donald Trump. I got a year to plan it out, though, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait 364 days, and then I'm going to go to a gun range and try a gun, and then the next day I'm going to try to pull a gun out of a cop's holstered thing. Did I ever tell you about the time I could have killed John McCain easily?
Yes.
Okay.
You haven't told the audience, though.
Oh, so I met John McCain and what's her name? The hot one.
Sarah Palin?
No, not that one. The other one, the Senator Kelly Ayotte. Anyway, so I went to this rally. All I had to do was pretend to be a Republican, and they didn't even search me. They probably had, like, dogs or gun dogs, right?
They probably had those watcher guys with the long guns.
Yeah, they probably had snipers. So there's a Donald Trump story. All right, let's skip on over to one of the best stories of the week. We'll not lead with this, but we'll see if this video will play. But while we try to see if it'll play... Oh, is it going to play?
Hello,
oh, God.
Geico. Yeah, I was just...
Sweet.
Hey, did you mute that?
Yes.
Unmute it.
You're not going to believe this, but it's in a tree.
Okay, mute it.
I wish I...
Yeah, this is just like your news show.
Police knocked on the bright blue door of Lee Kaplan's home in Festerville, Pennsylvania. When the detective stepped inside, the children scattered. Some hid in a chicken coop in the back of the house. I don't even know what that means, but let's play the video.
From her home that prompted her to call Pennsylvania's child line.
You notice these little children, these little girls, only little girls, and they'd be outside very sporadically, very rarely you'd see one or two.
This mother's complaint has uncovered a deeply disturbing case. Police on Thursday removed 12 girls, including an infant. They say were living in this house in the 400 block of Old Street Road. They had no birth certificates and weren't enrolled in any school. It's alleged this man, Lee Kaplan, was gifted the oldest of the girls by her own parents who live in Pennsylvania's Amish country.
All right, this man that they're talking about
Yes. Looks
just like anyone over the age of 60 at Porkfest.
Oh, yeah. Huge. He looks like Noah, basically.
Like Charles Manson when Charles Manson hit age 60, at least.
In total, by the way, why did the children scatter and then some hid in the chicken coop? Dude, they have a drill, I wonder? It's like, all right, kids, if the police ever come, you, Emily, and Sarah, chicken coop, immediately. Then there's three more. You guys, dog cage, you three. Get the attic and start writing a diary. In total, 11 children and an 18-year-old girl lived inside the Cape Cod-style home. The detective was familiar with the place, with its overgrown grass and weeds that swallowed the front yard. Swallowed. He was there 2 years ago to investigate a fire. At the time, Kaplan said that the children were staying there for a while their home was being renovated. So the cops are like, what are you doing with all these kids? And he's like, I don't know, they're just staying here. Their home's being worked on. But 2 years later, they were still there, raising red flags for the detective. So he began asking questions. Sevilla Stoltzvas, a resident of Kaplan's home. Now, this part of the story is a little confusing. A resident of Kaplan's home said she is the mother of 10 of the children, including the 18-year-old. Stoltzvas and her husband Daniel gifted their daughter to Kaplan while she was just 14. Now, why?
Gifted?
Yes.
What did they get in return?
One sec. We'll get there. But why does it say she's a resident of the home, but then it doesn't say her husband's a resident of the home? Are they married? And she's like, no, I'm leaving you for the guy I gifted all the kids to, or whatever. I don't understand why it says that she's a resident of the home. The couple, who are former members of the Amish community, faced financial difficulties at the time and researched the legality of the deal on the internet, according to the police affidavit. Today, Stoltzfus' 18-year-old daughter has two children with the 51-year-old Kaplan. So, when telling the story to the detective, Stoltzfus and Kaplan appeared to believe nothing was wrong. So they were like, the cop was like, excuse me, where'd all these kids come from? And the lady's like, oh no, I gifted them to him. And he's been having sex with her for 4 years and has two kids. Okay, nothing wrong, officer. She thought he would just leave. Their comments were enough for Kaplan and Daniel and Stoltzfus to be arrested. Police are now working to piece together what happened inside that home. Meanwhile, neighbors reveal that they have known something was wrong for years. We're only 25 of the way through this story. Look at that scroll bar.
Jesus. Man, this sucks, because I always posited that the Amish were the least crazy of the religious nutjobs.
All right, let's go up, and we're going to actually...
You ever talk to an Amish?
Nope. Oh. I would never talk to one.
Why not?
If I see a girl in a dress, I'm like, oh, she's Amish, and I run away.
Today, she is 18. They say Kaplan began a sexual relationship with her starting when she was 14. Police say she gave birth to two of Kaplan's children.
So we can account for the 18-year-old, and we can account for the two other of the girls, but it's like there's nine other girls that are like, what are they? And then the Amish mom says those are mine too, but they're not releasing many details.
They're
about
yard
that.
Workers. They're farmhands.
I guess so.
Mr. Kaplan had her living there as some kind of repayment for a financial situation.
News of the charges and allegations sent shockwaves through this community.
Everything always sends shockwaves through a community. Is it ever like, oh no, we knew. This is not very shocking at all.
It was a shock ripple.
They're going right under our noses.
I thought they were just part of his family.
12 children.
Oh my gosh.
It's just a man on the street interview, but it was an old lady next door.
His family.
12 children.
Oh my gosh. I never saw that.
Police have also charged the couple believed to be the biological...
She was like, well, I didn't see. I didn't even know. She thought that she was about to be charged.
Everyone looks like Charles Manson, even the female.
Wow, a little bit.
Other to 10 of the girls. Arrest papers reveal David and Sevilla Stoltzfus knew their daughter, starting at 14 years old, was engaged in a sexual relationship with Kaplan. Neighbors tell us they were often curious about living arrangements inside the home.
Sometimes there are kids that looking at me. I said, how many kids he had?
So it's like, it's Asian. What was she, Asian?
Too many kids.
She walks by and she's like, sometimes there's just kids looking out the window at me. Oh, well, I wonder what they're doing in there.
I would call Jen Betts the hero of this story. She's...
So eventually one mom down the street was just like, what? Because I'm pausing and unpausing.
She played for a half a second.
It's fine. It flows.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Some mom down the street was like, I'm going to call the cops because everything feels weird.
As it was just her motherly instinct.
I just made the call. Just, I don't know. It's just an instinct. I just felt like I wasn't going through another summer where everybody should be outside kind of thing and not see those little girls again.
All right. Who's worse to live next to? This woman or the child rapists?
Sorry.
Like, who's the worst neighbor? The child rapists are going to keep to themselves, but this woman's just nosy, and clearly she's very bitchy.
The problem is now she was right. Once. So now
I know,
now she's going to go all over town and be like, I think there's raping going on there. Raping everybody out there. Okay, so that's pretty weird. We got that story done.
Well, if your yard is overgrown like that, you should just be shamed. As an experienced homeowner of the past 6 months, I feel that one should be judged by the quality of their lawn. It's not hard to maintain. Nick, how do you feel about your neighbor's lawns?
My neighbor's lawn's actually pretty fine.
Oh, God damn it.
I know.
All my points are being shat on.
It shouldn't be. Whenever I go out to mow the lawn, it's like, oh, they already mowed their lawn. And it touches my lawn. And we don't even know where the line is. We're just like, I guess it's just mutual. Wherever we mow to, that's our line now.
And theirs looks better than yours?
It doesn't look better. It looks the same.
So you're only as good as them.
In 2013, the new owners of a four-unit Spanish-style building in the Los Angeles neighborhood of Fairfax evicted their tenants. The residents, some of whom have lived there for decades, had been paying between $1,600 and $2,600 a month. A few weeks later, the same apartments popped up on Airbnb. The landlords were charging around $500 a night. Practically every major U.S. city is struggling with how to handle the boom in short-term rentals. Most have enacted or are considering regulations for services like Airbnb. Critics of sites like Airbnb have long claimed that the services remove affordable housing from the market by turning rentable apartments into unofficial year-round hotels. A drop in supply can mean higher rents for the remaining apartments. Hotel industry groups are also upset at the loss of revenue. But Airbnb claims the site primarily offers an economic lifeline for residents to pay their bills.
Rather than, you know, sell your kids off to Kaplan, you could just Airbnb your chicken coop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be 12 cents a day. And you also have to take care of the chickens.
I'm sure there's a talk here at Porkfest of how to live in a chicken coop.
Nice. If you want to move your chickens into the house and you move into the chicken coop, that's probably the most sustainable way.
Yeah, you can have more chickens that way.
This week, Los Angeles started to take action against rent-controlled apartments that have been illegally converted into short-term rentals. The city filed criminal charges against the Fairfax building's owners and civil cases against three other building owners. Five of the displaced tenants filed a lawsuit against the owner and Airbnb in December. So the news story is Airbnb starting to become illegal, just like Bing. Uber, I mean. Bing. I don't know. Bing, too. Okay. Let me ooh. So we got some an update from last week where this man walked into a bar. Man walks into a bar.
Worst joke ever.
I didn't even mean to say that. And he was like, I'm tired of these guns. Under pressure from Republican leaders, the Justice Department on Monday afternoon reversed itself and released a full uncensored transcript of the Orlando terrorist 9/11 call. 911 call, sorry. On the night of the massacre. Calling the morning's furor over omissions in the document an unnecessary distraction. So what had happened is they'd originally released a transcript that had a bunch of stuff redacted. It was basically
this is a
like,
story about Duke.
It was basically like, I pledge allegiance.
Pork. These are
mute
the small.
It. Oh, okay. I pledge allegiance to ISIS.
I thought it helps the flow.
I pledge allegiance to ISIS and Allah and whatever, and they'd bleeped it out. So it's like, I pledge allegiance to bleep and bleep. It said, I pledge allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. May God protect him on behalf of the Islamic State. Mateen says in the new transcript. The old version had several words scrubbed and read, I pledge allegiance to bleep. May God protect him on behalf of bleep. So let's listen to the news.
What do the full 911 transcripts say? And what was originally edited out? And why? And why, when the killer said Allah, does a DOJ release transcript say God? Fox News Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Heritage is here. Catherine, Allah is God in the Muslim faith, but nonetheless, you know, it's catching a lot of people by surprise. Okay, so
was it being translated from Arabic or something? Or was it in English?
I think part of what
was
he said...
Was he yelling in English and then he just happened to say Allah instead of God?
No, I think he said certain things in Arabic.
Because if he was speaking in Arabic and they're translating it, then they should translate that to God, right?
Oh, yeah, true.
And they're just picking it up. Well, they're just whatever. I mean, it's not a big deal either way, but still.
Yeah. So here's a graph, if you want to see a graph of who's done the best in shootings. It goes Florida nightclub mass shooting.
Nick made this list.
No,
last
no.
Night.
This is on Fox News.
Oh, really?
Virginia Tech, Newtown, Luby's Massacre. What is that? The San Ysidro,
San Ysidro.
McDonald's Massacre. And then Columbine is down way, way lower. Now, does Columbine count because, or do they have to split the score? Like, if they did 12 and they both got, and it was two of them, do they have to go 6-6? I feel like you shouldn't be able to double up and beat a single player score. Maybe that's just me. No?
No, I agree. It's like forming a secret alliance on Battle Tetris or something.
We know the shooter was a radical Islamic extremist inspired by ISIS, Paul Ryan said in a statement. This Paul Ryan's all over the place. We also know he intentionally targeted the LGBT community. Now, do we know that?
Wait, this isn't even his state.
Paul Ryan works for the federal government.
Oh, whatever.
The administration should release the full, unredacted transcript so the public is clear-eyed about who did this and why. Well, A, he never said in his statement, he didn't call in and say, hi, I'm representing ISIS and also kill the gays. He never even said kill the gays. He said basically the U.S. and Russia are bombing us and please stop bombing us. I'm going to keep shooting until you stop. That's why it took 3 hours for them to get him.
Well, that's how this game works.
According to the Justice Department report, Mateen said twice during the 911 call and at least once during later negotiations that he pledged to ISIS or al-Baghdadi. Investigators said he spoke to negotiators on three different calls. The longest call was the second at 16 minutes. The third call at 3 minutes was the shortest. And I don't think we have the transcripts yet from the negotiations.
What are the timing of the calls in relationship to the shooting?
2:48 a.m., 3:03 a.m., and 3:24 a.m., and the shooting started at 2:02 a.m.
So they're during the shooting, or after, during?
During. Like, he's walking around looking for more people that are playing dead.
So he's like, bang, 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 911. Bang,
yeah.
Bang.
Well, here's the thing. When you do a shooting, all of the action is really, like, dense at the beginning.
It's
and
then, the expert
talking. And then everyone runs out. So in Columbine, they shot, they exploded some bombs, and then they walked around for a little while being like, there's nothing else to do. Let's go to the library and shoot ourselves in the face.
No one's killed us yet.
Right. They ran all through the halls, though. That was crazy.
I did that once.
With a gun?
Kinda. It was a sixth grade science fair.
Okay.
And my girlfriend at the time and I, there was like those, like in the stores in the mall, when they close up, they roll the gates down and they block you from getting in.
Oh, yes.
There was one of those blocking off the gymnasium to the school where the science fair was. But we saw that it was open a little bit and we can get underneath it. So we rolled underneath it and ran around the whole school.
Wow, were there security cams?
Probably. It was a new school. But it was the 90s.
Yeah, one time they were tracking me on security cam because I was walking around doing nothing. And then I saw a hall monitor and then I ran the other way. And then I saw her again. And she was on her radio and they were calling, the cam people were calling her. And like, we got a guy walking around. And I think they saw me climb up on the wrestling mats.
And you were like, it was that guy, James. He wants to bomb the school. And then he got arrested.
Wow, yes. No explosives were ever found on Mateen inside the club or in any vehicle outside. Mateen was armed with two guns during the rampage. Blah, blah, blah. We know all that. Okay, let's see. What do you want to do next? We will do... This is short. An airplane powered solely by the sun landed safely in Seville on Spain early on Thursday after an almost three-day flight across the Atlantic.
I feel like a lot of it was powered by the wind.
A lot? What?
Otherwise, how would it stay afloat?
The single-seat Solar Impulse 2 touched down shortly after 9:30 a.m. local time. After leaving John F. Kennedy International Airport around 2:30 a.m. on June 20th, the flight of over 71 hours was the 15th leg in the around-the-world journey. So this guy is flying this huge plane. It's got huge wings with solar panels on it, and it goes like 62 miles an hour. Oh, no, with a cruising speed of around 70 kilometers an hour, which is 43 miles per hour. He's able to fly across the Atlantic at 43 miles an hour. I'm like, how am I even staying up in the air at that speed? But anyway, it took 71 hours for him to cross the Atlantic. I wonder if he was awake that whole time or if he's just like, well, I'm going to sleep and hopefully when I wake up, the plane is still going. Cause it doesn't say there's another guy. It just says there's one guy. Remember when they said Amelia Earhart was the solo flyer and then we find out this whole time it was a conspiracy and they really just had
Wait,
a navigator
what?
On board? There was another guy on board.
Wasn't even a lady?
No, Amelia Earhart was a...
I know she was a lady,
oh.
But you need to have a lady with you to be a lady's thing.
What if she got in and she was like, all right, here I go. Actually, I don't really know how to fly it. And then it was just the guy the whole time.
I don't know how to read a map.
That's why the Challenger crashed, because they were like, Krista McAuliffe, you take the controls. She was like, no. I'm like, no, you're the lady. Ladies first, take the wheel. And then they crashed. You know when the Challenger went up and it hit a telephone pole and blew up? Because Crystal McAuliffe was trying to back it out of the parking lot. She's like, oh, no.
Always back into your parking spot.
We damaged the O-rings. That's what I always say when I back into something with my O-ring. I don't know what's happening.
It's your nickname for your wiener cleaner?
Bill, is that what you call that thing? Billion-dollar brain training industry a sham. Nothing but a placebo, study suggests. This is 3 days ago. Who wouldn't want to be smarter? After all, high intelligence can help you with better grades in school, blah, 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 blah. Puke says, did I say intelligence? For years, scientific studies suggested that smarts were mostly heritable and fixed through young adulthood. Nothing one could willfully boost. Sorry. So we're jumping ahead to the alluring finding quickly gave life to a $1 billion brain training industry. The industry, including companies such as Luminosity, CogMed, and NeuroNation, has since promised everything from higher IQ to the ability to stay sharp through aging. The industry even boasts that it can help users overcome mental impairments from health conditions such as attention, ADHD, and traumatic brain injury, TBI, and traumatic muscle injury, TMI.
So you've been on the internet for a long time, right?
Yes.
And at what point did you realize that all these internet IQ tests or brain tests or look how smart I am tests were bullshit?
When I took one and it said, you're 158, and I said, no, I'm not.
Out of what, 100? Or IQ?
No, IQ, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I said, that's impossible. And then I saw Daryl W. Perry post one that says,
I'm
192. And then Rich Paul posted one that said, I'm 195. And I said, okay, these are fake. So it says, these claims are clearly overblown and have been roundly criticized by scientists, the media, and federal regulators. Earlier this year, Luminosity agreed to actually pay $2 million to the FTC over claims of deceptive advertising. The FTC said Luminosity preyed on customers' fears about age-related cognitive decline. In the settlement, the FTC forbade the company from making any such claims that the training could sharpen the consumers' minds in life-altering ways.
It's the Illuminosity.
So, it's like, okay, well, we've been saying that it's stupid, but in a study designed to assess the experimental methods of earlier brain training studies, researchers found that a sampling bias and the placebo effect explained the positive results seen in the past. Indeed, to our knowledge, the rigor of double-blind, randomized clinical trials is non-existent in this research area. I don't even know what those words mean, but okay. They even suggest that the overblown claims from the brain training companies may have created a positive feedback loop, convincing people that brain training works and biasing follow-up research. So, in their study, they recruited 50 participants using two different posters put up around campus. One poster advertised the study using the specific terms brain training and cognitive enhancement, and then stated that previous research has shown brain training to be effective. Participate in the study to get it today, the poster concluded. The second poster was visually similar to the first, but merely encouraged viewers to participate in a study in order to earn credits. So here are the two studies. Here are the two things. This is, one of them says, brain training and cognitive enhancement in big letters. And the other one says, email today and participate in a study. The first one says, numerous studies have shown working memory training can increase fluid intelligence. By the way, I don't need my fluid to be intelligent. Like, oh no, it's swimming the other way up my veins. Why is it intelligent? And this one says, need Sona credit. Sign up today to get a credit, right? And they even have two different email addresses to try to trick you. One of them says GMU Brain Training, and the other one says some lady's name at masonlive.gmu.edu. Let's email her. Okay, so anyway, so they recruit from these posters. The 25 recruits lured by the first poster were considered a placebo group, while the 25 brought in by the second, boring poster, acted as controls. The researchers set up the study this way for a couple of reasons. First, when the researchers looked back at the 19 studies included in the 2015 meta-analysis, they found that 17 of them used overt recruitment strategies. And they picked two groups of 25 because most of these studies also included groups of 25 participants or less, because that number is big enough to be statistically show large effects. Okay, so they got all the people together, right, from the two posters. All 50 participants were given a standardized test first to measure their fluid intelligence. Participants were then, I don't even know what fluid intelligence is.
Is it how intelligent you are on the fly?
I have no clue. Is it see a square and then pick another shape that's the exact same as a square? Is it a triangle, a circle, a rectangle, or a square slightly rotated? Sorry. Okay, so participants were then allowed to play a brain training game for an hour and then had their fluid intelligence retested. After just an hour of training, the placebo group scored better on the fluid intelligence test with improvements equivalent to about 10 to 5 IQ points, 5 to 10. The control group saw no such improvement. That's weird. So they took the test, then they did the exercise, and then they took the test again, and the people who thought they were going to get a better result got a better result. That isn't that strange? Because they shouldn't have been smarter. They all did the same thing. But they thought they were going to be smarter, so they were. Together, the researchers conclude the findings suggest that recruitment methods used in past studies created a self-selected group of participants. So this study is supposed to knock out all the other studies and say, you guys were doing the study wrong. Such a placebo effect isn't worthless, the authors caution. It may be useful for future studies to assess how far the placebo effect could get brain training believers. But to truly assess effects of the training, researchers would need to turn to trials where participants don't self-select or know to the point of the study randomized controlled study.
So the next time I'm arguing with Ellen, I can just believe that I'm smarter than her, and then I will be.
Yes.
Cool.
Only if she believes it too, though.
Oh, shit.
Probably.
That's impossible.
This is the thing with selecting people. It's like, okay, I'm going to do a study on how tall people are. I wonder how you even do that. I mean, you could go outside and pick like 25 people and measure them, but you're only getting 25 people that went outside that day. Like, sad, depressed midgets aren't going outside. Fat, short people aren't going outside, right? So you're going to get skewed results. That seems to be the problem with most studies. So I was in a restaurant, and then the waitress dropped my fork on the floor, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll go get you another fork. And so she went and got another fork. And then I was thinking, I wonder what the chances are of a fork actually being contaminated by being dropped on the floor. And I'm going to need to start a study. I'm going to need about $100,000. You can get these grants, you know, to do studies. $100,000, I'm going to need to be dropping 50 forks on the floor and then leave 50 forks on the table. And then we're going to test them and see which ones have more dangerous chemicals on them. I bet it does nothing. Why would my fork touching the floor even do anything?
I don't know. It was a $2,000 fork.
What?
It was a $2,000 fork.
I heard what you said. I don't get the joke.
The math. 50 forks.
Oh, right.
100,000.
Four deaths reported in Arizona as heat wave intensifies in Southwest. Officials reported at least four deaths related to the intense heat wave that got stronger on Sunday in the Southwest. All four were found dead in Arizona this weekend and from separate heat-related emergencies. A 25-year-old man died while hiking. In a separate incident, a 28-year-old woman died in the morning hike. Another woman died Sunday at a hospital after hiking, and another man died after his hiking group was overcome by heat.
Wait a minute. When you're hiking and you die hiking, are you just hiking along and you're like, oh my God, I feel like shit. Well, I guess this hike's good. Like, is that what really? Like, when you puke shaking his head, yes.
It does suck because
the closer you get to dying while hiking, the better the hike is. This is bullshit.
Excessive heat warnings blanketed the Southern California and Arizona, where temperatures jumped into triple digits and are expected to remain there until Monday, which is this was last weekend. Well, it is sad because...
What if you die while running? You're going to die.
Yep.
You don't let the heat stop you from running?
No, it doesn't get that hot here.
It doesn't matter. If they're hiking. You're running. You're doing like 10 times what they're doing.
Thank you.
It can be 10 times colder and you'll die.
So they, ooh, what was that? That was me getting an e-cig. They get delivered to my email inbox. Okay, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so it is sad because you go hiking, and you're not from the area, and you're like, yeah, no, I'm Johnson. I can probably just take one bottle of water. I don't know why I said that.
I'm Andrew. I'm sure puke will bring some water.
Right, and then you get up, and you hike for about a mile, and you go, man, I am tired and I feel pretty hot, but I'm not going to be a pussy. I'm going to be fine. And then you walk along another half mile and you're like, you know, I'm about to have a heat stroke. And then you die. I did hear about this one couple. This wasn't this year. This was last year. The mom and the dad and the kid started hiking in Arizona. Like, they're like, we're going to go for a quick hike in the desert. And they go off and the mom's like, I feel sick. She went back. She dies halfway back to the car. The dad starts getting delirious, and he's like, I think we're almost to the car, son. And they were like 2 miles away. It's very sad. And with his last breath, he's like, take my water. And the son took the water, and then he lived, actually, the son. But the parents died in the heat because they just walk out of their car, and they're like, I guess it's okay. It's the earth. How hard could it be to live on? And they die. So the point is, don't go outside if it's hot. All right, let me check. Oh, Puke says to drink more water. Well, isn't that smart of you to say?
Well, this is crazy. I wonder how close I've ever been to dying just from walking or...
How close have you felt to dying?
I don't know. Whenever I run, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But obviously, I'm pretty damn close, I guess.
You might be.
Yeah.
People can really die from overexertion. I'm waiting for the next story to load.
Good for you.
Loading. Does anyone have any news? I don't care. It's still loading. In sex sting, police pose as 15-year-old on Craigslist and nab another cop. A police sex sting operation in Northern Virginia aimed at finding men who wanted to have sex or commit indecent acts with juveniles has nabbed a police officer in Maryland. Christopher Dunkies, 27, a patrolman with the Montgomery County Police Department, answered a Craigslist advertisement posted by an undercover officer who was posing as a 15-year-old girl from Prince William County, the detective said in a criminal complaint filed with the Prince William Court. So how?
Is it a dude posing as a 15-year-old girl or a chick?
It's the police.
I know it's the police, but is it dude police or a chick police?
It's just the police in general. Like all, I bet you they all had a meeting and they said, how should we word this? Okay.
It's a bunch of fat 50-year-old guys standing around being a 15-year-old?
Yeah. What if they had a meeting? You know how you have to have meetings and you're like, okay, what are we going to put on the website for the tagline? What are we going to make our mission statement? They have this meeting and like, okay, we're going to need to write the 15-year-old sex girl ad. Okay, I'm going to start. Hi, I'm 15. I love teddy bears. And then someone's like, no, no, no. She's not going to say I like teddy bears, right? I don't know what they do. But isn't it weird? Like, if the person who came up with the 15-year-old ad, he's got to be, like, the creepiest one.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like, oh, yeah, I know what a 15-year-old girl would write.
Because in reality, the perp here, that's what they call him, right? The perp?
I don't know.
The perp who fell for this faux 15-year-old, he's actually in love with the 50-year-old dude. He's not in love with the 15-year-old.
Oh, no. He's in love with a 15-year-old because he can picture her body in his head. He doesn't picture an old man body.
Yeah, but it's an old man mind.
Donkeys, I don't know. I don't know even what the Craigslist ad would be. Would it be, and even what section?
I don't know.
Would
look it
under?
Up.
Would
Start it be chatting with them.
Would it be under No Strings Attached, or would it be under WFM? W for M. I'd put it under W for M.
I don't know. Wherever it was, I'm sure they just get a bunch of emails and texts saying, hey, my mom is really interested in your car. Please text her.
Now, I always post under M for T because I thought it was teen. It's not teen.
What is it?
It's not man and it's not woman. It's T.
Oh.
Dunkies emailed and texted with the undercover officer about sex acts, according to the complaint. Dunkies twice proposed a specific sex act, and it doesn't say what it is, and I'm pissed, and suggested that they meet in his car. Okay. He agreed to meet the undercover officer at a Target store. He was arrested without incident. Dunkies has been suspended without pay. Blah, blah, blah.
Is there a photo?
There is a picture of Dunkies, and he's like, he's basically looking down, and he's like, oh. Whoops. We are cooperating with the investigation, his department says, Dunkies' department. Dunkies was charged in Virginia with 3 counts of using a communication device to facilitate offenses with juveniles. Why did they get 3 counts? It's like, I want to have this action, and this action. Or it's like on 3 different days he tried to meet up with the girl? I don't even know. Held without bond Monday, said an official at the Prince William Jail, is not clear from court records whether he has an attorney. The week-long sting operation, but maybe we'll get more info on how this sting went down. Week-long sting operation began June 6th. It was a proactive operation and not in response to any specific incident. By the way, anytime they have nothing better to do, I'm not trying to be all, I want to have sex with teens. I mean, I always say that. But the point is, like, they got reports to fill out. There's murders and stuff, but they're like, you know, I'm a little bored. Can we do the 15-year-old thing again? on Craigslist.
I'm sick of driving around and looking for crime.
Yeah, you can always find them. Anytime you, this is a free-for-all. You go online, pretend to be a 15-year-old, you're always going to get response. I'm 100% sure. Don't ask me how I know. During this operation, undercover detectives used social media and an undisclosed online site. By the way, it says Craigslist at the top of the article, so I don't know what's going on.
Back page.
Undisclosed online
site. The page I was accused of surfing.
When?
When the cops questioned me at the old Area 23.
I know. Wait, there was an old Area 23? I don't even remember this. So you go there, and there's cops there, and they're like, we know you were on back page.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you're like, I don't even know what that is. I only go to front page. That old Microsoft program.
I've only been to 6 internet sites.
I only go to front page, back page. Is that like my O-ring? I don't even know. Okay, male suspects contacted the undercover detectives and during the course of communication solicited sexual or indecent acts. These conversations involving the accused parties took place through electronic means. In each of the incidents, the suspect made arrangements to meet the undercover detective at a public location. Once there, detectives arrested the individual without incident. So it happened several times, but they're only really... Oh, wait, here's some more. We got Stephen Castillo, 20. That doesn't seem that bad, right? It should be like, oh, you're only 20. It's fine. Jeffrey Dimond, 35. Who
Diamond?
Cares? Oh. Is that how you spell diamond?
No, but close enough.
We got a 54-year-old, a 23-year-old, a 58-year-old, and a 24-year-old. So
Curtis Jenkins, that's got to be not a white guy, right?
Ooh. So another story popped up that I actually forgot I wanted to do, and it's on this page, so we're going to load it. But first, we're going to jump on over to maybe this will load.
So if you're a cop and your job is to go on and do these stings for these creep guys... Isn't your entire worldview like just skewed, thinking everyone is a filthy piece of shit?
Is it skewed?
And that's why you go out and shoot people?
Is it skewed or is it
accurate?
Accurate, right?
I think it's skewed.
Okay. American activist rescues 1,000 dogs from being slaughtered. American activist Mark Ching, founder of the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation, convinced the owners of 6 slaughterhouses to sell their businesses to him prior to the start of this year's Yulin Dog Meat Festival. He and a team of volunteers shut the slaughterhouses down and rescued the dogs inside. As a result, many meat vendors will have to be forced to close down their businesses.
Wait, where is this?
I don't know. Yulin.
China. Puke says China, but I don't believe him. I want proof.
Ching visited a total of 11 slaughterhouses.
I know he's a Ching, but I thought he was an American.
It does say American, and then his name is Mark
right.
Ching. That makes no sense.
I mean, he could be a Chinese guy in America, but where is he activisming?
Wait, he's activisming him in Yulin.
Where's Yulin?
Who knows? Can someone look up the Yulin Dog Meat Festival and tell us where it is? They're
okay,
saying China.
Bridget says China. I'm going to have to believe her. Okay,
whatever.
Thank God. Never going to China.
Who else eats dog but China's?
I don't know. All the Asians.
Maybe. Sorry. Ching visited a total of 11 slaughterhouses during his rescue effort and was unable to come to an agreement with some owners. He mentioned that the money he paid for the slaughterhouses is less than the revenue if all the dogs are sold. However, the owners also get to save on production costs and retire. So many agreed. How does he have so much money? Every year, everybody protests it but does nothing. I attack their supply chains. I go in and I shut these slaughterhouses down. So basically...
I like this guy.
In America, it's like hero rescues 1,000 dogs. In China, it's like some
asshole ate all our food.
Just shut down all of our meat stands. We've got no food. We are starving. And we're China. On top of all that, we're still Chinese.
I'm sitting here looking at Tom's dog. So on the one hand, I appreciate this guy saving all these dogs. On the other hand, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, this could feed a village for a week.
That's just bone.
Yeah, there's a lot of muscle on that thing, I'm sure. It's 130 pounds. It's got to lift itself.
So this picture of him, he's posing, and he's taking a selfie in front of the dog cages. They're just cages made out of bamboo.
Right, that's what everything's made out of.
I guess. It's not like they went down to Petco or PetSmart or whatever. You know, we're going to need about 1,000 dog cages. Can you get us some?
No, bamboo's like weeds over there.
The team of volunteers did not have an easy time. Though the government claims to have no ties with the festival, police officers followed Ching and volunteers and sometimes impeded their efforts. On Facebook, he described that he had been beat up on his way to Yulin and detained at the airport. The police followed them and allegedly threatened the owner against making a deal with Ching when the group visited one slaughterhouse. So he's walking in, the cops are behind him, and they're like, "Don't do it. Don't do it. I love that meat." That dog meat. He speculates that this is because the government does not want them to see the horrors within the slaughterhouse. Another possible cause is that things have gotten violent before between dog lovers and dog eaters.
Ooh. This is sad.
Technically, dog eaters are still dog lovers, right? They're just another kind.
Yeah, like I love pigs. I just don't want to ever see one alive.
Right. Or ride it out of Mark's farm.
Yeah.
What if you were stealing the pigs and instead of like loading them onto a truck, you're just like, "Ride!" And you tried to steal them by riding them off. I don't know. You're just going to have to deal with it.
Well, I was killing a little orange bug.
Not only did Ching and his team save the dogs from a brutal fate, they have also saved many humans from the risk of disease. Many dogs slaughtered at Yulin are sick, dying, or already dead.
Wait a minute. In that photo, there was just cute, happy little dogs.
Well, I mean, he took a selfie, so he probably picked the best ones. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, that also means that many of the dogs rescued might not survive. Out of the 1,400 dogs that were rescued and taken to one shelter last year, 1,000 of them were dead in 2 months.
All right, well, as much as I love dogs, what if these dogs go run around and disease everyone?
Yeah. Well, wait, what does he do? He can't just set them free.
Does he have a dog farm?
I don't know.
Does he farm them and slaughter them and sell them for food?
Apparently, over 66% of them last year didn't even make it.
Well, this is just a waste then. I mean, as much as I love dogs, that's a huge waste of dogs.
This story's getting worse and worse.
This is very complicated.
All right, let's see if there's a video. It's been several minutes since we played a video. See, at my home studio, I've got an ad blocker. I don't think this video is going to go. Yeah, that's not looking good. The first warning signs came between the plane head.
Wait, what's the article title?
The first warning. Do you not like it when I do like a tease? Sometimes
no.
You don't even know.
I saw the bottom of. I saw the last line.
Nope.
So I was curious.
The first warning sign came before the plane had even taken off. Chad Cameron Camp had his choice of seats on the half-empty American Airlines flight from Dallas to Portland. But Camp, who was 26, curiously chose a middle seat right next to an unaccompanied 13-year-old girl, the FBI said.
You can't trust any white guy in his 20s, right?
Probably not. Flight attendants offered to move Camp to another seat where he would have more room, but he declined. "No, I'm fine," he said, according to the criminal complaint.
"Well, sir, you can use the other half of your seat if you'd like."
When a flight attendant returned for drink service an hour and a half later, half hour later, she saw Camp's hand on the teenager's crotch. She also saw a single tear coming down the victim's cheek. Flight attendants separated Camp and the teenager for the rest of the voyage, and as soon as the plane landed, the unaccompanied minor was rushed off the plane. When Camp exited the plane, he was arrested and charged with abusive sexual contact. The teenager's attorney, however, said that the airline failed to protect its vulnerable passenger. This was 30 minutes of hell for this young lady. Brent Goodfellow, a lawyer representing the girl who scoffed at the idea that his client had been saved by a heroic flight attendant. If I have my tray table down or my seat back 2 inches during the improper time, those guys are going to be on me immediately. This girl got abused for 30 minutes and no one was to be found. Not only did the airline fail to protect her, he said, but American Airlines also charged the girl's family extra to let her travel alone. The family paid $300 extra and this is what they get? Absolutely going to sue the airline. American Airlines says it takes these matters very seriously and is cooperating with law enforcement.
If I ever have a daughter, when she starts getting her period, I'm just going to buy her tampons with pins sticking out of the end. The happy end, not the, you know.
The happy end?
Well, the happy end of the tampon.
Which side's the happy end?
Which side do you think?
I would think the happy end's the side going in.
No, if it's all that would bloody.
If I was a tampon, I'd want to be on the happy side.
Okay, fair enough.
Going into a bloody butt.
That's how it works.
Right? Just kidding. I wouldn't want to be on that side. So you're right. Okay, that was pretty cool. So that girl got molested on the plane. I bet nothing even happened. He was like, rested her hand on the thigh. This is why you got to teach your girls to be like, go away, right? I bet you he was trying to like feel her out. This is what I do to girls. You like touch them a little bit.
this is how you scare away predators the same way Nick gets scared away.
No. Yes. Well, you touch a girl a little bit and then you read her body language. And if she doesn't push away, you just keep going. So the girl didn't push away. She just had a single tear going down her cheek. But at that point, you're not even looking at the tears anymore. I don't even know what I'm saying. The point is, yeah, the Puke says this girl was actually a 50-year-old cop posing as a 13-year-old girl on the plane in order to catch men. What if that was real?
And that dude was just sounding the cop's penis. Right?
What?
Sounding?
Sounding, yes. Anyway, so I feel bad for this guy, obviously. He misread a 13-year-old's body language. That's why you don't go for 13-year-olds. Because you don't know what they're going to say. Okay. What is this article here? I'm not a terrorist. Never mind. We're getting rid of that. That was too old. Let's see if this video will play. Ooh, it is playing. Only 17 seconds long. Parents in tears as boys let classmate with Down syndrome win school race.
We can only play a quarter second at a time.
A caring group of 11-year-old boys decided to link arms to help their classmate win a race on their final school sports day. 11-year-olds? This is dumb. The boys wanted to come joint second so that their friend, 11-year-old Rory Kettles, who has Down syndrome, could win gold. Now, why is Down in capitalized? Is it named after a man? Richard Down?
Wait, how old are these kids?
11.
11. When you were 11, did you have any sympathy for tards or handicapped people or anything?
Well, when I was 13, I raced go-karts, and at the last race of the year, one of the dads came up to me and said, Nick, we're going around to all the other kids, and we're wondering if we should just be nice to the kid that sucks and all, like, let him win, right? And said, no!
And you cut his brake lines.
We're not doing that!
Yeah, I had no sympathy when I was 11.
Well, A, no sympathy. B, if you were going to win, why would you, like, what if you won? And then you got out of the car, and then you found out that everyone just let you win. Is that better or worse?
It's way worse.
It seems like it'd be worse. Like, we knew you were so sucky, we had to let you win. The boys wanted to come in a joint second so their friend could win gold. They can be seen running slowly as Rory speeds off ahead of them and crosses the finish line. And then they join him for a group hug. One of the boys' parents said the boys had come up with the race idea themselves. I'm so unbelievably proud of what Rio and the boys did. All right, let's watch the video. Let's see if there's anything interesting.
I'm glad kids aren't assholes anymore.
Sometimes this looks like a dumb story, but sometimes in the video there's something worth saying. Wow, this is a very short track, by the way. I was expecting it to be
this is a 12-yard dash.
I was expecting it to be a track. It's just a field, and there's painted white lines on it. Wow, whoever's taking this video started it halfway through the race, I think. Actually, maybe it only takes 12 seconds to run the race.
If you're going to convince the retarded guy that he won, you got to be a lot closer to him than, you know, half the track back.
Well, he has Down syndrome. He doesn't know.
Yeah, but still.
He goes, okay, running! So he's in red. Why is he in red? Is that him? Running way ahead?
Yay!
And then everyone else runs behind them? Well, that was stupid. This is the dumbest story. And it's in, like, the real news. Okay, well, that was good. What is this? That was from Greece. Greek fans let off flares celebrating team's wins. Boy with cerebral palsy wins race with a little help. Canadian school is leading the way and leaving no one. Can't even finish that. All right, we are winding down the end of the show because it has been 55 minutes and I don't have anything else to say. Do you guys want to check what's on CNN? Because I don't even know.
What happened to your uplifting news segment?
That was it.
Oh.
Also, well, the uplifting news was that and it was the dog. With the thousand dogs saved, but then it got sad right at the end. It's like, actually, most of them are going to die anyway. Yeah.
Most of them are going to die a much longer, slower, more painful death.
So let's see. Did I have anything else? Blah, blah, blah. Nope. That's not a touchscreen. I'm running way too many computers. Okay. Did you guys want to hear some breaking news from the Washington Post? Affirmative action advocates shocked and thrilled by Supreme Court's ruling in University of Texas case. I don't even know what this is about. Let's find out. Supreme Court's decision Thursday to uphold race-conscious college admissions came as a welcome surprise to many university officials and civil rights activists who celebrated the ruling as essential to preserving and promoting diversity at higher education. Let's see if the video... It's the same type of video. It's not going to play. Weird. Some of them will play and some of them won't. Advocates had feared that the court might rule that there was no longer a place for affirmative action in college admissions. Instead, Thursday's 4-3 decision, 4-3 at the Supreme Court, one of them's dead and one of them's like, I'm not coming in, I guess. Or I wonder, like, if it's 4-4, what even happens? Who knows? I guess there's no rules. Means that universities can continue using race as one of the multiple factors in their admissions decisions. This is a terrific comfort for higher education in the country, said Peter McDonald, General Counsel for the American Council on Education, a group representing college and university presidents.
That means that anyone who's a minority that they don't have an abundance of gets a pass. Like, yeah, you get in automatically you check this box.
True. The court's decision, which supported the notion that campus diversity can help students break down racial stereotypes and prepare for a diverse workforce, gives colleges great deference to determine their missions and identities. So you can't be racist for whites. You can't be like, I only want whites in my college. That would be, you'd be burned to the ground. But if you're racist to blacks and you're saying, yeah, we actually do want more blacks and Mexicans, so we're going to let them in for a lower standard, you are allowed to do that. That's crazy, right?
That's the way it works.
I guess it is. Now it is. The Supreme Court just said it is. Because they feel weird. It's like, okay, we're the Supreme Court, and I guess we feel like we should be nice to the blacks. Now, the correct rule is that, yes, colleges should be able to do anything, right? But I don't think the Supreme Court would rule that colleges can only let whites in. Maybe they would. I don't know. But definitely, if they have a bathroom, they have to have a third bathroom for those teens. All right, thanks for coming out to the news with Nick. Look up the Washington Post to see more about affirmative action. Andrew, anything else?
Nope.
Okay, thanks for coming on the show, Andrew. This has been News with Nick at the Porkfest 2016. And come out tomorrow in 23 hours and see the real Puke in the Gang show.